I hope everybody this morning is here. I hope you're feeling that you come out to God's house for a blessing this morning. I hope and pray. As you can see, I'm going to try to use some props this morning, so bear with me, and I think you'll get it after I get into it here in just a little bit. But I think this is very important this morning, that we look at this and take it to heart this morning. And I really feel that this is something that needs to be done. It really does. If you would, turn to the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, if you would. When you get there, look up the 15th verse, and when you find it, please stand in honor of God's word this morning. I've used this scripture to preach before. You've heard many preachers preach it, but I want to take it to a different direction, hopefully, this morning. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which were your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say that with me. We will serve the Lord. That is what I want to ask you. I've got three chairs here, they're a chair in the pew, but I'm going to consider that a chair. And I've got something I've got some things that I want to ask every one of you that's here this morning. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord. Father, I'm asking you, Father, to be with this service this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just, Father, that your will be done here this morning, that you, Father, would open up the hearts, the minds of those here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that if we look upon this, Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just help us, Father, to understand and be where we need to be. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. As you see these three chairs, I think they represent every one of you sitting in here this morning. One of these chairs represents you. Whether you know it or not, you do know it. I'm here to tell you, you do know in your heart where you stand here this morning. You can fool yourself, you can fool anybody you want to, but I'm here to tell you, you know where you stand this morning with God. I cannot tell you where you stand. The person sitting beside of you cannot tell you where you stand. You can't come up here and shake my hand and have me tell you where you stand. You only know where you stand by your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're saved here this morning, you are going to heaven one day. If you're not, there is no hope for you. So I've got three things I want to talk about this morning. First off, the first chair. I want to know, are you committed? I want you to look at that here this morning. Are you committed this morning? People who are fully committed to Jesus Christ, they have completely sold out to the service and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They live to serve, they live to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what they do each and every day of their lives. Do you know that? Somebody that sits in that chair right there, if you're here this morning and you sit in that chair right there, that's what you live to do, is to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have a spiritual nature that leads them and guides them every day of their life. The Bible says without the Spirit, you're none of theirs, none of His. That's what it says. The Spirit will lead and guide you if you are committed. They have come under the authority of the Holy Spirit. If you are a committed individual here this morning, if you say you are sitting in this chair, you are being led, you are being guided, you are being directed by the Holy Spirit. You're not being led and directed by me. You're not being led and directed by anybody around you here. If you are truly committed to Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you this morning, you are being led by the Spirit of God. And if you are not being led by the Spirit of God, you are not sitting in this chair. Understand? The Bible tells us that. You are not sitting in a committed chair. It goes on to say, they have a spiritual nature. They have come under the authority of the Holy Spirit. The first chair represents those who are dedicated to serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're spiritually committed to God and to the things of God. That's what it is. If you are in that chair right there, you are committed. You know, when I think about chair one, that's what got me started. That's why I went to Joshua. My mind went to Joshua and how committed he was to doing service for the Lord. Do you know what the Bible said about Joshua? It said this in 11:15, Joshua 11:15. I beg you to go to it if you would, but you need to go to it later. It says this, so did Joshua that he left nothing undone. Nothing undone. In his service for the Lord. That's what commitment means. That's what it's saying there in 11:15. It said, Joshua left nothing undone. Not a thing. Listen, all that God had commanded Moses. Moses told Joshua what God had commanded him, and Joshua did everything that God had commanded them to do. That is commitment. That's commitment this morning. That's what it's about. And he left nothing undone. He was completely obedient to the calling of his calling of what he had to do for the Lord. And when those around him, no matter, didn't make any difference who was around him, maybe they weren't completely committed, but Joshua was. The scripture goes on to say here in Joshua 14:8, and you've all heard the story. It said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, you know what he's talking about? It's whenever they sent them into the promised land to scout out the promised land. There was only two of them that come back and give a good report. The rest of them said, no, they're too strong for us. Joshua, I believe it was Caleb, said, we can take it. He was committed to the things that God had him to be committed to. Exactly what he was absolutely committed. Whatever they said he was going to do it no matter what anybody else thought. There was something about him. He was so committed. That's what it means to sit in the seat of commitment. That's what it means to sit there, to do whenever nobody else around you wants to do that. Listen, you're going to do what's right. You're going to do what the Word of God says. He had an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had it. You know what? I want to say something to you this morning. If you're sitting in that chair right there, you have a value system that is at odds with the world. Amen? Your value system does not go along with what the world's value system is. Listen, you can say, well, you know, we live in a different generation now, Dave. I don't want to hear that bunk. I don't want to hear it because the Bible's never changed. God's never changed. Listen, if you're committed, you have a different value system than what the world has. You have that. You're setting. Psalm says this, Psalms 119, 128. And because I consider all your words, I hate every other path, every wrong path. That's what the psalmist said. That's what it means to be committed. That's what it means. Amen. Praise God. You find yourself filling out a place. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt it? You feel different. You feel outdated. That's what commitment means. That's what it means whenever you say every other path. You know what? You don't go down the other paths. That's what it means when your value system doesn't line out with the world's value system. Because you're at odds with the way the world talks. The filth of the world, the things that they show, the things that they sing about, all that stuff, you're at odds with their value system. That's what it means to be committed. That's exactly what it means. And then, by the way, I'm going to say this. If you never feel that way, you're probably in one of these other two chairs. Amen or oh my. Because if you're not at odds with the world's value system, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I'm just here to tell you this morning. Listen, me and Patty talked about this before church. I preach grace, but I also preach the truth. Grace and truth are two things, brothers and sisters, that need to be preached more in churches today. They need to be. We'll get into the rest of this here in just a little bit. But yes, listen, if you've never felt that way, I'm here to tell you, brothers, that there's something wrong. And you're probably sitting in one of the other two chairs here this morning. that I'm going to talk about here shortly. In 1 John 2:15 and 16, it tells us this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? It's not in him. It's not in you. If your value system this morning, if you're telling me, well, my value system aligns more with the world than it does the Word of God, I believe you better read what I just read there. For the love of God is not in you. That's hard, is it not? That's the truth, but it's hard. I know that. But listen, that's what I want to talk about. Because if you never feel at odds with the world, and I've wondered about it, if you've never felt at odds, there's something going on. Reevaluate where you're at. Truth and morality matter to the people that sat in his chair. Amen? Truth and morality matter to the ones that will sit in his chair and can say that they sat in his chair. Does truth and morality matter to you this morning? Does it matter? Does it matter at all? When you sit in this, your desire to serve him is your only desire. Self goes out of the way. That's what it means to be committed. That's what it means to be committed. I've thought about this long and hard this week as I got to studying about this sermon. And I'll tell you what, I'm just here to tell you that, and I want to talk about the second chair now. Can you read it? What's it say? Compromise. This right here, this chair right here, you know why I put it in this big comfy chair right here? You know why? Because a lot of people, that's where they're at. Man, this is just comfortable right here. This chair right here is just comfortable. It's not as hard as that thing is right there. That's why I put it in that big comfy chair this morning. I'm not saying these people aren't born again. I'm not going to say that. Some of them probably have been born again. They've given their hearts to Jesus maybe at some time in their life. They go to church some, but not continually. They may show up here and there sometimes. You talk to them, they'll tell you, well, yeah, I go to church. I'm a Christian. If you talk to people like that, they'll tell you that. I go to church. I'm a Christian. They'll tell you that. But they live a life that is distant from the Lord. And you say, how's that distant? If they were to totally be honest, if you're sitting in this chair right here this morning, if you're here this morning and you're sitting in this chair this morning, to be totally honest with yourself and be totally honest with the Lord this morning, the Lord is an acquaintance to you. You don't have a relationship with it. You're not like this one. Amen? If you're sitting in his chair, he's an acquaintance to you. Well, I know him. I know God. I know Jesus. I was saved when I was young. I'm an acquaintance. Well, then why don't you go to church then? Why don't you try to serve him? Why don't you try to be more of what God wants you to? Well, there's always some kind of an excuse. Then when you talk to him about, then they hear about him. You know, the only time that they seemingly hear and want to know about him, they don't read their Bibles consistently. The only time that they really ever want to know about Jesus and hear about him is when they're sitting in a pew of a church, and maybe when they hear a sermon or maybe when they hear the teaching. That's the only time that somebody that is compromised wants to know anything about Jesus or the Lord. The only time. Seemingly, they don't want to grow any closer to God. They don't want to go any closer. I'm here to tell you, the Bible wants it, and I say this quite a bit because I definitely mean it, and I hope this morning that you understand that I mean this. If you've grown any from this time last year to what you are right now, brothers and sisters, you need to look because you're sitting right there in that chair. You've compromised. The Bible says we can grow. It's not the way Paul said to do it. What? 1 Corinthians 3:2. He says this. This is why I say, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to handle it. He's talking to the Corinthian church. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat because you were not able to handle it. And you know what he went on to say? And you're still not able to handle it. If you haven't grown any from this July 14th of last year to July 14th now, you're not able to handle the meat still. You get what I'm saying? I hope you do. You know what? From here to here is not that far. And people go that way all the time. It says in Hebrews 15 and 12. He's talking to the Hebrews. Now he says this, Paul is. In fact, by this time, you should have been a teacher. He's talking to them. He said, by this time, you should have been teaching people. You should have been preaching to people. Yet, you need someone to teach you the basic truth because you have not grown, because you have compromised. You get what I'm saying this morning, church? You get what I'm saying? You know, this to this right here. Paul's telling them that. He said, you need somebody to teach you the basic truths of God's Word all over again. Because why? Because you're still on the milk and you're not on solid food. There's no reason God has given us everything for us to grow, for us to stay committed. He has done everything for us to do that. And yet, that chair is so comfortable. We love it right here. I don't want to do anything else, Dave. I am just comfortable right here. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you're doing. Because I'm going to show you in a word what God's compromise will do for you. They have a carnal nature. Someone that is compromised still has a carnal nature about them. It says this, and I, brother, could not speak unto you as a spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. Whenever you first got saved, you know what? Praise God, the Holy Spirit should have come into you. You should have been on fire for God. And there are times that whenever you're like that, you should have growed. You should have grown. That carnal nature may have still been there a little bit, but it, you know what? You should grow. And guess what's happened? You've sat in this chair and you've let it happen. You've sat there. You've not grown any. You're sitting there without nothing going on in your life, spiritually wise. So somebody gets up here and teaches spiritual things or preaches spiritual things. You don't understand it. Well, I don't know about that. Why? The Bible just told us why. Because you said you're not spiritual. I can't talk to you as spiritual. Because you do not want to get a hold of the meat. That's why. That's why. They've committed. You know what? They're not committed to living what the Bible says. They're not against it or opposed to it. But you know what? That's for somebody else. I'm not really against it. But you know what? There's some things in it that I really just don't understand because they're babes in Christ and they don't want to understand it. Matthew 2:2, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What did he say this was? He said, this is the first and great commandment. That's what Jesus said. In your Bible, it should be in red. That's exactly what he said for everybody in here. You know what? You want to get from here back to here? Do what they just said right there. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. They know the word, but they don't necessarily want to apply it to their lives. They know it. So this is the mistake of compromise that happens. This is what happens. I believe you can see those sitting in this chair, in this second chair, the story of Joshua this morning. And I'll tell you how that is. Joshua said to the people over in 24:15, what I just read to you, if it seems evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day in whom you will serve, whether the gods which were your father served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you know what the people answered him? If you read right below it, you see what the people answered him? And the people answered and said, verse 16, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. They said that. You know what happened after Joshua died? They didn't do what God wanted them to do. They compromised. God said that He wants the people chased out of the land that He put them in, that He gave to them. He wanted them out of there. What did they do? They didn't do it. They coexisted with them. They intermingled with them. It ended up, what happened was, if you go down through there and read, you know what they ended up? They started serving their idols. They compromised. They didn't do what God told them to do. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, I believe this. This is my spirit telling me this. There are more people sitting in churches today that sat in this chair right here than are sitting in this chair right here. And I can guarantee you there's more people sitting in this chair or in this chair than are sitting in churches in that chair right there. I'll get to them directly. Listen, there's a lot at stake. Is what I want to say this morning to everybody in here this morning. You know, your children, your grandchildren are not naive. Raise your hand if you think your grandchildren are naive this morning, or your children. They watch you. They see every step that you take. They know how you live your lives. They know what you're about. They know what chair that you're sitting in this morning. They know if you're committed. They know if you have compromised. They know it. Those kids know it. I'm here to tell you, they know it. In Judges 2:10, it tells us this. Oh, and also, all that generation were gathered into their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works that He had done for Israel. One generation that knew not the Lord, nor the works of the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning, your kids know if you're compromised this morning. They know it. And I'm here to tell you what you're teaching them is, well, it's okay to go this far. Guess what? They're going to take it farther, the next generation. You want to see what's happened to this country? Look no farther than what's happened down through the generations. You think this generation may be bad? Wait till the next one. If people don't stop compromising and get back to this. Get back to that. Because their fathers and their mothers sat in their seats and they got comfortable is exactly what happened. Oh, we can go to church once in a while, and you know what? It doesn't make much difference. We're good and comfortable. You know what? Everything, God's blessed us. We got this, we got that. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's what they see. That's what they know God. They knew God as an acquaintance is what happened. They knew God as an acquaintance. I wonder how many folks I'm preaching to here this morning. And again, I don't know your lives. I don't know your hearts this morning. But I'm just saying, I wrote this note. God showed me this. He said, how many people am I preaching here to this morning are comfortable right here? Are comfortable right in this seat right here this morning. I just asked myself that. And God kept pressing upon me. Your moms and dads were dedicated to the things of God. And you got saved, but God is now just an acquaintance to you. Just somebody that is an acquaintance to you that, you know what, I know of Him, but I really don't have a relationship with Him. Can I tell you something? You're still on the milk. You can't handle the meat. You know what? Ben back here is still on formula. She can't keep him on formula the rest of his life. Can't do it. You see, I'm not naive either. I'm not a bit naive. I know the enemy is after your soul and after your mind. He's after my grandkids. He's after your kids. He's after your grandkids. He's after your kids. You get what I'm saying? I'm not naive. I've got to make sure that I stay here when I got to make sure. Because once I start going here and compromising over things, I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to be long. It's not going to be long to where they may not even be in this chair. He's after your grandkids and your kids. He is. You see, you understand what I'm preaching to you this morning, I hope. I hope you understand that this morning. I hope and pray that there, and again, I'm going to repeat myself, Everybody in this church is in one of these chairs. Everybody is. There's no denying it. You're in one of these chairs. There's no in between here. There's no chair in between. We're in one of them. He's after your kids. If you were truthful with yourself this morning, again, I want you to be as truthful as you can be. Not with me. You're sitting back there this morning. I want you to be truthful with yourself this morning. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or are you just an acquaintance with him this morning? Ask yourself that. Bear that out in your own mind. I can't, if you're being totally honest with God and yourself this morning, do that for me. Do that for God this morning. Do that for your family this morning. Have you ever talked to them, have you ever talked to somebody that's compromised? They don't want to talk about God. You know what I mean? Not really. They will if you press them. You know what? They want to talk about the football team. They want to talk about the economy or the stock market. They want to talk about going here and there, but it's not truly. They want to talk about something that's truly captivating their heart at that time. And if you're just an acquaintance with Jesus, you know what? Yeah, you'll think about him once in a while, but he's not going to captivate your heart. He's not going to do it. But it's not truly in their heart. It's just a heart that's full of compromise is what it is. They love the Lord, but they're living a compromised life. That's what they're doing. They're at odds with God, but they're not actually at odds with God. But you know what? They're just not overly, and I wrote this down, just not overly friendly with him either. You get what I'm saying? I hope you understand. When you live a life of compromise, things of God can become a drudgery to you. Oh, man, is this really Sunday morning again? I would just soon stay in bed this morning. We can go next week. Amen? You see what I'm saying? We take and we have let ourselves become compromised. Then we wonder why. Then we wonder why maybe our children are going down the path that they are going down. We wonder that sometimes, do we not? Well, God, I come to church. Have you compromised? I can't get them to, you know what, you wake up one morning, you can't get your kids to go to church, maybe. Maybe you do that, you get up sometime, you can't get them to go to church. You notice that the majority of their friends aren't Christian. That's what happens sometimes when you compromise. It also some stuff that happens too is, you know what? You don't want to, moms and dads, you know, you find yourself to arguing with them. And for the sake of just finding peace in your life, you stop arguing and let them have their way. And when you do that, are you willing to pay the price that may have to be paid for your children? When you go down that path, when you compromise, it definitely can happen that way. And the more you compromise, the more your kids are going to compromise. I'm here to tell you this morning, it is nothing but a vicious cycle. And it keeps going and going and going. What happens with your marriage? You notice that you and your spouse, when you start compromising, you notice you and your spouse start arguing more over dumb things. You notice that. Because you know what? You've compromised your love for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You put him first. He will take care of the rest of it. You compromise. When you settle in this chair right here, when you settle in that chair right there, and how comfortable it is, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a lot at stake. There's going to be a lot at stake that you may be not willing to pay the price on sometime. That brings me to the third chair. See what it says? It's conflict. That's what the unlost, that's the unsaved, that's those that are lost. That's in their lives right there. That's what their lives are for. They're absolutely in conflict with the Word of God. They don't believe in it. They don't uphold to it. They don't want anything to do with it. Everything about them, their lifestyle, everything is void of God in their life. They don't confess to being a Christian. They do not confess to being a Christian. The person that chair doesn't walk in a relationship with God whatsoever and does not claim to do it. They're in conflict with God. There's no God in their house. And what do you mean by that, David? You know what? We are the temple of the living God. Right? If you are born again, you are the temple of God. God, the Holy Spirit, should dwell in you. Those people that are conflict, they have not that in them. Not whatsoever. Completely void of it. Don't have it in there. There's no God in that house. That describes perfectly the generation that is here today. It describes it perfectly. They get up on Sunday mornings. It never crosses their mind. Never crosses their minds about serving God. Never does. Because Sunday is not considered the Lord's day to them. It's a golfing day. It's a hunting day. It's a fishing day. It's a kayaking day. It's a bicycling day. Cutting the grass day. Taking a drive day. It's a being good to yourself day. Have you heard that one? Or go to the grocery store day. That's what they consider the Lord's day. That's what they consider it. Now the person in third seat is totally at odds with God. We can see that. They fit right into the culture of today's world. They fit right into it. There's no doubt in my mind. Everything the Bible stands for, they're against. You know what the scripture says about that? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. That's what the Bible says about those who are in conflict, who do not know the Lord, those who are lost. That's what it says about them. Everything from marriage to babies in the womb, everything. They're totally against what the Bible stands for. Everyone who believes in infanticide, and you know what that is, you've heard enough about it lately to know what infanticide is. For birth control reasons, I'm here to tell you, I hope nobody here believes that, but that is totally, absolutely murder, and it is wrong. I'm just here to tell you, it is wrong. Dead wrong. It says that, you know, I will not be quiet and let that one go by. I won't as a preacher. I will stand up against that one. For you who don't know what that is, that's where they say they can have a baby after 9 months, they could lay it out on the table, and if the mother decides to kill it, they can kill it then. I will not stand and not let go by without saying something about that. And neither should you. That is totally wrong. It's not political, it's biblical. It is biblical. We've allowed this stuff to happen because you know why? We have, as a churches, have sat in this chair and have allowed so much happen down through the years. We've compromised, we've let it happen, and we've sat here, we've come from here to here. I want to tell you something, it's not that far from here to over there. Because this is what they do. God's word is true, and I will not sit in the seat of compromise when it comes down to that. I will not do it with my eyes closed and letting the world just go by me and saying everything, the reason everything goes is okay. In the blink of an eye, conflict. We have become like little mice sitting in the corner. Proverbs 6, and one more thing, but I'll get off of this. There are 6 things the Lord hates, and 7 are abomination. You know what one of them is? Hands that shed innocent blood. He not only hates it, it's an abomination to him. Just imagine that. You know, if you're sitting in that chair right there in a seat of compromise, oh well, it's their bodies. Oh well, you know what? I'll just mind my own business. I'm going to tell you something. This preacher ain't going to mind his own business on that. I may get in trouble on that one because I'm not going to mind my own business on that one. I don't care. It's not right. It's not right. Psalms 1:4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Isaiah 57:20 says this about them. They are like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. That's what the people that are sitting over here, that's what their lives are like. That's what they are constantly, things are just turning up in their lives. I'm here to tell you, though, they can come from here to here through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? There is hope for them. There is hope for the compromised. It is through Jesus Christ and Him that shed His blood, His precious blood on the cross, that you and I can go from there, can go to here, and we can sit right here in this chair right here. Praise God this morning. We can do that. Let the world do what they want. Praise God. I know that He is able to save that which is lost. He can save to the uttermost. Save to the uttermost. Praise God this morning. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things of God from God, but considers them to be foolishness, cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Only through the Spirit. They come and get a song this morning. I'm about done. I got a question. Just be honest with yourself this morning, please. You have three chairs here. And I've told you, there's one of you are sitting. Every one of us in here is sitting in one of these chairs. There's just no doubt. Jesus Christ died that we don't have to sit in these two. We can be right here. That's what He wants out of everybody. All those that are called according to His purpose. They get a song this morning. I'm asking you, you know what? Church, let's come up here and pray this morning. Let's do that.